brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we continue with the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 20, through chapter 2, verse 4. The opening prayer for today's liturgy, I love this. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. Rely solely on grace. Rely on God. Grow in hope. That's how you let your spiritual life flourish. That's how your relationship with God grows. And you just walk through making decisions. I could choose to be very depressed by such and such a circumstances. I'm going to choose to put my trust in God. I'm not talking about emotion. I'm not talking about feeling. I'm choosing, Lord, to put my trust in you for this situation. Lead me. And then pray that way every day. Just keep saying it and watch what God does. Book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 20 through chapter 2, verse 4. God said, "Let the water teem with an abundance of living creatures, and on the earth let birds fly beneath the dome of the sky." And so it happened. God created the great sea monsters and all kinds of swimming creatures with which the water teems, and all kinds of winged birds. God saw how good it was, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile, multiply, and fill the water of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Evening came, and morning followed, the fifth day. And then God said, "Let the earth bring forth all kinds of living creatures, cattle, creeping things, wild animals of all kinds." And so it happened. God made all kinds of wild animals, all kinds of cattle, and all kinds of creeping things of the earth. God saw how good it was. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle, and over all the wild animals, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground." God created man in his image. In the divine image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the living things that move on the earth." God also said, "See, I give you every seed-bearing plant all over the earth, and every tree that has seed-bearing fruit on it to be your food. And to all the animals of the land, all the birds of the air, and all the living creatures that crawl in the ground, I give all the green plants for food." And so it happened. God looked at everything he had made, and he found it very good. Evening came, and morning followed, the sixth day. Then the heavens and the earth and all their array were completed, since on the seventh day God was finished with the work that he had been doing. He rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work he had done in creation. He's giving us an example, brothers and sisters. Sunday has become for many of us a day to get things done around the house because the offices are closed. You want God's blessing? Pay attention to what God said. God rested on the seventh day, rested from the labor, spent more time in relationships, spent more time being together, spent more time drawing closer to the Lord, spending time in some kind of recreation. Prayer and rest and recreation. That's what Sunday should be. And it can't always be. But when it becomes the norm, that it's most always the case, Take a look. If you want the blessings of God, you want to do what God asks, where that's possible. Sometimes it's absolutely not possible. Doctors and nurses, for our good, many of them have to work on Sundays. But if we could do it differently, by a little juggling, what would we do? I see many office buildings these days with lots of cars out in front on Sunday afternoons. I'll go get a little work done, and then I'll be back. Give it up. Give it up. You follow God, you follow God's word, you follow God's will, you'll be mightily blessed. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples, ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" And he responded, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" Does that describe you? In other words, they weren't looking at all the blessings that God was giving them. They were blind to recognizing him as the Messiah that they had prayed for thousands of years. They had all kinds of rules and external regulations that had to be followed every jot and tittle. They took pride in the fact that they did it, and so they questioned him. They couldn't hear the truth of what Jesus was proclaiming because they were too caught up in their own pride and their own arrogance and in their own prestige that they observed every jot and tittle of the law. That made them pleasing to God. What makes us pleasing to God is faith and hope and love, brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean you throw the law aside, but you observe the law for the right reasons, because you love him, not so you can get prestige and honors. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, etc., etc., etc. And so the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders?" I'm reading this again because I want you to hear this. "But instead eat a meal with unclean hands." And Jesus says, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites?" Are you a hypocrite? Are you doing all the right things for the wrong reasons? If you are, you're a hypocrite. You disregard God's commandment but cling to human tradition. He went on to say how well you have set aside the commandment of God in order to uphold your own tradition. For Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother, and whoever curses father or mother shall die." Yet you say, if someone says to father or mother, "Any support you might have had from me is korban," meaning I've taken what wealth I've had and I have dedicated it back to God. Why? So that he could get personal honor, so that people would look upon him as good, and deprive his own family of that money, his own mother and father, just to get his own personal honor. Do you hear the hypocrisy of that? Brothers and sisters, all of us fall into this. All of us can fall into hypocrisy. But here in this new year, if we want to be more and more disciples of Jesus Christ, we really have to look at this area. Am I doing all the right things for the wrong reasons? Jesus said, their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. Is your heart far from the Lord? Are you serving in the parish? Are you doing all kinds of good things, but it's for your own satisfaction? Well, people compliment me. People say I bless them. Yes, blessed be God. But are you doing it so that others will be blessed, or are you doing it for your own satisfaction? Do you do good deeds for others to see? I've run into a few people over the years, and I'm very, very, very touched by them. People who do many, many good things, and they do their best to keep it hidden. They make anonymous donations. They go serve somewhere where they would not be known. They work in a hidden way so that all the glory will go to God and so that the poor will be fed and clothed. Brothers and sisters, don't do good deeds for the wrong reasons. Just don't. Give it up. And if you have a habit of it and a pattern of it, just give it up. Honestly, just perhaps that should be your New Year's resolution. I don't know what your New Year's resolution was, but make sure you have one. And then decide, is this self-serving, or am I doing this because I want God to be known and loved? And are you going to perform, if it involves an act, are you going to perform it? You don't have to go through gymnastics to try and hide it from people, but don't blow your own trumpet. Do it in as hidden a way as you can for His glory and honor. And the day will come when you will stand before Him, and He will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I don't know any other words that would be more welcoming for each of us, for you and for me, than to hear that. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. If you live with that goal in mind, if you live with the desire to honor God and to glorify Him, then the light that we've spoken about the last few days, the light will shine out in the darkness. And our hearts, your heart and mine, will be very close to the Lord. It'll be very near the Lord. Jesus had such a hard time with those whose hearts were far from Him. Let our heart be near His sacred heart. Let our heart beat with the same love and the same desire to see His people come safely home to Him. That's you and me. Let us be His disciples. Let us bring that word in the midst of the darkness. That's all around us, brothers and sisters. May God bless you, and may He lead you for His glory. Amen. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789, Faith More Precious Than Gold, or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on Free Booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.